the intention now behind the group discussion. There's going to be brothers that are going to help us, but also for the young ones, young brothers, if you have a question or if you have a comment that you desire to participate, please, before the Lord, by the help of the Spirit of God, do so. And now the brethren will bring us into the group discussion, and this time will go up to 12 o'clock.
I hope as you were listening to what was said, that you would just kind of lose sight of everyone around you and let the Spirit of God talk to your heart. I don't know when you will ever again, if we are left here in the scene, hear what the Word of God is warning us. I want you to kind of close your mind a little bit from all of the distraction that was going on yesterday, this morning, around you, thinking of what you're going to do this afternoon or what you're going to do tonight. Just like let that go for a little bit. And in the presence of the Lord, let's just consider how serious this matter of leprosy. I think as it was said, it's in the midst of the book of Leviticus. It is in the midst of the book that is saying, you people are my people, and you have the privilege to approach me, but you have a problem. And I want us to look at it this now as not for the unbeliever. I want to talk about us believers now that have in that heart, that has in that heart, and the moment you let that hand go in there and act out, that's why the hands act out, full of leprosy, because it is coming from there. Look at verse 1, and just I want to open it for discussion. Chapter 13 and verse 1. And I want you to underline in your Bible the three things thus far, the three things that will tell that there is something going on. Chapter 13 of Leviticus. And verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying. Now who is speaking? The Lord. Now this is the voice of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. I want you to underline that. When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh, underline the first one. Rising. Underline number two. Scab. Underline number three. A bright spot. Let's just get some help there. What are these things? What is a rising? It was touched on. What is the scab and what is the bright spot? What is actually happening here? And what is the Lord saying about these things? Not what the man who have them is saying about them, or even what the priest is saying. What is the Lord saying about these three things that are very obvious in the skin? They don't look anything big. It's just a little something on your skin, little spots here. Maybe you could get some help in that.
Well, since we're quiet here, arising, could that be a swelling, like a swollen area? So these three things would raise a question to anybody who had it, that I have something wrong. Something's going on in my body. And so it would raise an alarm, which is a good thing. Thank the Lord. Doctors know that. If we recognize problems, then you go to get help. And so I think this is the first step. And it doesn't say it is leprosy. It says it could be the leprosy growing in that. And so I think it's an interesting thing that we have as warning signs.
So the flesh is active. The flesh, which is supposed to be dead, something is going on. And that is the first sign for a believer. Something is going on. Whether there is some new temptation, whether there's something that's drawing out the activity of the flesh. Because the flesh should be dead. There should be nothing happening in the flesh. And when my flesh starts acting up, whether it be a little rising, a little scab, a little bright spot. It's a warning sign. It could be very little, but the flesh should not be doing anything. The flesh, I should be fleeing from the flesh. There should be no activity in the flesh. And any little sign needs to be dealt with readily.
I'm wondering, Andrew, if you can read a verse and maybe from 1 John chapter 2. And maybe brothers could help us if we can connect these two together. 1 John chapter 2. And maybe you can read for us verses 15 and 16. And see if these three over here might help in relation to the question or to the challenge you raised, Brother Emil, as far as Leviticus chapter 13. Go ahead.
1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not the Father. But it is of the world.
Yeah. So maybe if I can add to the second part of the question, would you think that these three in 1 John, specifically in verse 16, 1 John 2 verse 16, might answer to what these three features that we read off in Leviticus chapter 13? And if only time could be stopped, but it cannot be stopped. So
I think they are connected. There are, the word of God is so simple. And God gives us things in a way that even the littlest one could understand. It's always in three. So three things are easy. It's not even five. So you could still have two fingers left in your hand to kind of remember something else with. They are very, very easy to remember. And Satan is a marketer. He marketed things. It is the same three old things. He did them in the Garden of Eden. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. It's always like that. Take everything in the world and look how Satan marketed that. He just put a different wrappers on it. He changed the color. But it's three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. All of us have that in here. And that in here is the tendency to gravitate toward these things. So the rising, I will take that as the pride of life. It's a puffing up. I'm somebody. I am somebody. I mean, you know, I know who I am. I'm somebody. I'm really, really capable, able, smart person. And I might not be a very good in sports, but I have a brain. Somebody else might say, no, I am a person. Listen, I could lift weight. I could show you my muscles. I am somebody. You know what? I am one of those techies. I could just take your iPhone and show you stuff on it that nobody else would do. I have a computer at home. I could do stuff with it that no one else. I mean, you think my parents are smart? I could just do things that they don't even have a clue. I can handle things now. So don't talk to me about don't do this or don't. I can handle it. I know the word of God. I know scripture. Listen, I went to meeting. I could quote verses. I even could preach the gospel. I'm breaking bread. I know. I'm confident. Just like Samson. I can handle that Delilah. Don't worry about that. I could handle anything. The pride of life. The self-confidence comes from the flesh. It comes from that heart. And when we are young, we are so prone to that. This self-confidence that I have. That I can't do anything. Don't tell me what to do. Have you ever told your parents that? Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. I can handle it. It's arising. It's a puffing up. I can handle it. It's a sign of leprosy. Be very careful to know that in you, Romans chapter 7, in the end, that in yourself dwelleth no good thing. You cannot do anything on your own, in your own strength. You're going to fall flat on your faith if you meet the temptation with the pride of life. I can handle it.
So these three things, it says, and when it becomes in the skin of his flesh, a sore of leprosy. So someone could have had this in their home personally and seen it. And they could have had a bad case of poison ivy. They would have had a rising and a redness. But if this thing didn't change, if it got worse and started to develop, then it was the leprosy was in that. And there was a real need to get help. And so the right thing to do is to go to get help. First to go to the Lord, as we said. And then to go, you know, you often need to speak to a godly brother or sister about the condition in your life. And not to be so full of pride that we don't humble ourselves and do that.
Go ahead. No, age, please.
just to go back at this matter of the rising and the matter of pride of life. You know, I often think of the first place where leprosy comes into view, even though the word leper or leprosy is not mentioned. But I think the first place is in Genesis chapter 4. And it's Cain. Why? What is leprosy in the spiritual sense now? We said it's sin. But I think it's sin in association with the exercise of my will. I will against God's will. What did Cain do in Genesis 4? It says, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to Jehovah. What is that? That's the exercise of Cain's will. What did Abel bring? He brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now, are you telling me that Cain didn't know better? He didn't know what the standard of Jehovah was? Yes, he did. Just as Abel knew what the requirement was of the flock. But Cain said, I don't have to agree with Jehovah. I don't have to agree with God's requirement. I will do it, like Frank Sinatra said, my way. That's leprosy. The exercise of the will. I will do it my way. And I think that's the rising we're talking about. I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, we're thankful, and I think we will get that the other two, the scab and the bride, will speak of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. But I want you all to remember what the brother have mentioned and coming back to the central, because I like to present another application, since we have established the fact very nicely from the scripture that leprosy really speaks of sin. I want you to think of Leviticus this way. The most approach of offerings is the first few chapters of Leviticus, the beginning of. So the believer in a spiritual way, we are exhorted to offer unto God, right? And the most chapter, now listen to this. The most offering that I have to offer, please God, Leviticus, the early part of Leviticus. The last chapter of Leviticus is the most chapter in the Bible that speaks about holiness. The word holy and the word sanctified is repeated in that chapter more than any other place in the whole Bible. So you have to read it at your own leisure. We're not going to read it here. But you read how many times word holy and sanctified mentioned, you will be amazed. In between, you're going to have the struggle of sin. Trust me. Because now sin, God is warning me in between for this fact. Sin, as we have heard, of the self-will, will never alter my eternal destiny if I know Christ. So let's settle this one, okay? So because of sin, if I am saved and redeemed by the Lamb, as you have presented to us, that sin can never alter my eternal safety and security. It will not. But you know why it comes in between Leviticus? Because Satan will use the word to do what? To bring something that is unfruitful, sinful, so that my relationship to honor God in offering is not there anymore. And the way of living to be holy is not there anymore. That is why it comes into a central point. Because God wants to warn me. Unjudged sin is going to take away from what belongs to God, offering unto Him. But also it's going to affect the way, what? I am going to live as Christ. Be ye holy as I am holy. So, young ones, it's not something to play with. You play with fire, you will be burned. You play with sin, it's going to hinder that wonderful communion with the blessed God, but also it's going to affect the way you're going to walk and live here in this scene.
Uncle John, maybe just link what Uncle Amel brought, what you brought in these verses. Uncle Amel, you mentioned in Genesis 3, these same three things were manifested. It was good for food, which is in Leviticus 13, the scab, and then in 1 John 2, the lust of the flesh.
Yep.
We all already talked about the pride of life, is the desire to make one wise, and that is the swelling. And the bright spot is it was pleasant to the eyes in Genesis 3, 6, and then the lust of the eyes. And I just want to make a quick comment on the good for food, and then try to link it to what you had said. And the lust of the flesh, which is good for food, is a good thing, right? I mean, food is good. We need to eat. It's spoken of. And so maybe it's the legitimate things. And for those of us that work, you need to make money. And so you need to excel. And I was told by somebody I, at the time, considered a mentor, that he said, you have to do for you because nobody's going to help you. You need to do this. You need to push everyone out of the way. He didn't say that literally, but this is the effect of it. Push everyone out of the way, because if you don't, you will never accept. And you will be stuck where you are, because nobody's going to do anything for you. You need to do it for yourself. The I will that Brother Dave mentioned. And then, for those of us that are younger, there's a new legitimate way of dating. There's new rules for what's acceptable when you're a teenager in high school. It's no longer, you're the weird one if you can make it through high school as a virgin. It's you know, to be very plain, we're a youth conference, and the statistics tell what is normal for a young man to do when he's by himself. And young women and all the things we suffer with. There's a new standard. It's good for food. But the point is it's not. It's lust of the flesh. And the one expression that stood out to me as somebody was reading it, I guess it was John, it's the skin of the flesh. And as Brother John McCormick brought up, is it's manifesting itself on the skin, but it's the deeper root that we heard about in the opening lecture. It seems legitimate. It's the new normal. It's the food that's legitimate, but it's not. It's not legitimate to push your coworkers into sin. There's a much deeper root. And this thing that seems normal, it's okay for you to hold hands or whatever the boundary is. It should not be on the standard of what man, what the world things and what your flesh is lusting after. It should be on the standard, as Uncle John just brought up, how can we continue in communion with God and be holy as He is holy? And so I just want to bring that out. It was good for food. A lot of the lust of the flesh, the devil is so good at making it seem legitimate. It is very legitimate to work overtime on Tuesday night, but is that what the Lord wants?
I think it's also important in these chapters, you see that the phrase is when a man has these things, it says, he shall be brought. So it sort of implies that someone else is bringing him. That there was a, because I know if, you know, I had a scab in my, I was trying to hide it. Trying to make sure no one sees it. No one knows that it's there, that I'm struggling with this. And that's something that I think we all have this tendency that there seems to be this shame to know that, you know, I'm struggling with something. That there's something wrong in my life that I have this problem. We have this tendency to hide, just like Adam when he heard the voice of the Lord, when he heard the Lord walking, he hid himself because he was ashamed. And I think we have to get past this problem that there is no shame in confessing to each other that we're struggling with sin. I think we all have struggles. We all have certain sins that beset us more easily than other things. And I think we need to realize that it's okay to confess our sins, because then there are others who are struggling with the same thing. And I know what happens is Satan tries to make you feel isolated and alone, that you're the only one struggling with this, and that if you tell people, everyone's going to think about you differently. Everyone's going to shun you. Everyone's going to cast you out. But that's not what happens. Everyone, we realize that we all are struggling with something. We all have these issues, so we need to be able to bring each other to help one another, to be able to help each other be accountable. Like Kevin said earlier, it's important that we are able to confess our sins to each other without having any shame, that we don't have to hide. We can admit to each other that we are struggling so that we can help one another.
Question. So that being said, so should we always, when we sin or we have a thing that we go through in life, should we always share it with the brethren, or that we have the free access because of the blood of the Lord, we can go to the Lord in a private thing that is just concerning my life? I can go to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I sin against thee, and I am before forgiveness without sharing my brethren. It's something that probably be a private thing that I don't want all the brethren to know about it. I just want me and the Lord to encounter it. Can we do that? Or should all our business be spread and put on the table and to be discussed? So if anyone else has the same issue, we'll be taught and understood.
I think, just for the sake of time, I think that's a very good question. And what we need to realize is this. When there is a sin, and the scab actually is a matter of covering an old wound. That's where you get the scab. You have a wound, and that's a covering. So there is something going on, but you're covering it up. You're covering your old habits. You're covering the stuff. You're just covering it up. It's come there, it looks like the skin. It says, but it's there. There's a mark in there. We need to go to the Lord. He will be brought to the priest. We need to go to the Lord and ask for help. We need to go to the Lord and confess our sins. Now, do I go and put on Facebook all of my sins? And the Lord knows them all. But you don't want anybody to know them. So you go to the Lord. But then there are fathers. But then there are mothers. Older brothers and sisters that have gone through. They were teenagers. They were young men. Now they're getting gray hair. And you will be able to find some help from an older brother, an older sister. You might have a close friend that you have confidence in, that you could share your struggle with. But be very, very careful about spreading these things. Be very, very careful. In the world today, people are tweeting and blogging about their stupidity and making it known everywhere. And as we have heard, the standards have changed completely. You do not cover your sins. You confess them to the Lord. You go to those who could help you, to help you out. But you don't spread that stuff around everywhere. Because you know what you do? You actually defile everybody. Leprosy is contagious. One of the worst things about it, among other worst things, it's contagious. So you share your struggle with a believer who is your age, who probably doesn't have that, and all of a sudden you're impacting him, and he's doing the same thing that you're doing. So be very, very careful who to share with, how to share with. You could go to the Lord and tell him everything. He knows it all. He knows it all. Even the stuff that's inside of you that you don't know about yourself, he knows it all. So first you go to the Lord. You go to those who are mature enough in the faith to kind of instruct and direct you. You always, always and ever, when you hear somebody giving you an advice, make sure it is according to the Word of God. Make sure it is in line with the Word of God. But we need one another to support and to strengthen each other, not to kind of throw all of that evil and things that are not right among ourselves to defile one another. It will impact somebody, no matter what it is, no matter how, even the older brother that you will talk to him, too, it will impact him. Sin is defiling.
So, just in the same line, allow me to add, Brother Milad, of what Brother Neil said, that sin is against God. So, that's right. I have to confess, if we confess unto Him our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But also, I might have wronged someone in that sin. And I think I'm obligated to go to that person and also confess to him that I have wronged you in that. I shouldn't have done this. I have repented unto my living God. My life has changed. And the Lord can use this in the life of this particular person that you have wronged. So if there is any wrong, so I think in that, to that particular person, you there should be some sort of confession. But as we heard that he was being brought to the priest. So, and I wonder that we might need help also. What does it mean? What's the practical application of the priest in our daily life here?
I have a question. I don't want to prolong the meeting, but I think that's something I really struggle with. And it'd be good for clarification. I mean, it's so clear here that this activity of the flesh is something that's so negative and so wrong. But then you read in 2 Corinthians 12 about the thorn in the flesh. And although it's kind of disguised as something that's so bad, it's obviously a blessing. It works to keep you in check. And how do you differentiate between the thorn in the flesh and this activity in the flesh? One that's a blessing and one that's clearly a disadvantage.
So thorn has nothing to do with any sinful nature. Thorn is actually a gift of God here. Paul said, I was given a thorn in the flesh. Lest I should be elevated, I was given a thorn in the flesh. So the thorn here has nothing to do with sin. But it is a gift of God to a believer. Of course, thorn is painful and is a gift of God to a believer to keep him on his knees before the Lord.
It's a physical weakness. Thorn in the flesh is different than sin in the flesh.
Yes.
Sin in the flesh is awful. God does not give man sin. Thorn in the flesh, it was given that the apostle will maintain his humility in spite of all of the great revelation that he has.
I'm wondering if we can give verses that will help in that aspect. James might help in it. Not every man that is tempted say, I'm being tempted of God. James chapter 1, and if somebody will find the verse while I'm quoting it. So not everybody, when they are tempted, you are tempted, God does not tempt with evil. The thorn in the flesh is not the activities of sin that we are talking about here, because God does not tempt with evil. It is after, when you are drawn after your own lust, that's where it comes, the subject again, after your own lust. Somebody found the verse? Verse 13, James 1, verse 13. So I think that will help. But if I can say something in a practical way to me, we have heard what sin can do. What sin can do. And the defiling, and that's why it wasn't for all to eat from the sin offering. There were specific company, the sons of Aaron, that could eat from it. So we don't want to defile even a younger brother because he's my age. Let me go and tell him about this sin. That's not the way. Bring him to the priest. You know what? Let me bring this application. I don't want to take the application. We're all priests, so bring it to any. But bring it to the priest, to the main one. Bring your brother or sister before the Lord as our great high priest. Bring it. Bring him and bring her to him. I want to bring that application, if you'll allow me. Yes, there is the priest, the discernment that you and I are applying. But the best thing that you can do to a brother that is struggling with certain things is bring him before or her before the Lord. The other things, the Lord will give us discernment. And the discernment is God has given the sense. You spoke earlier, there are many teachers. That's not where you go to. That's not where you go to. But the Apostle Paul said there are few fathers. There's a father. There's a mother that could do it in a gracious way. Yes, he might get affected by it, but you cannot go to individuals that are young in the faith, that are still going on for the Lord, and just defile them completely. You have brought more damage. So the Lord give us wisdom. It requires wisdom when these things happen, to seek the Lord, to bring Him before the great high priest, but also to give me, if I need to talk to someone to help me along from Scripture, the Lord will give us that direction instead of going to anybody that, you know, that I would desire.
And John, that underlined the fact how important it is from now, from our young age, to develop the habit of being in the presence of the Lord quietly by ourselves. We are so busy. We are extremely busy. We have many things going on in our life. And you always are very involved in something. And even if you are by yourself, you are on your phone. I have never seen somebody with a cell phone that's in his pocket. It's always on, they are always there doing something. We need to learn this skill of being able to go to the Lord alone, quiet, just pour your heart. Just talk to Him. Just talk to Him and confess everything. Tell Him about all your struggle. Jesus knows all of our struggle. And He's the only one who is able to help you without being defiled. He's the only one that could hug a man who has leprosy and doesn't get it. The only one. So He could help you with everything. And also, it is good to have a father and a mother in the Lord to kind of help you along. There are many brothers who cares about you like they, you are their own child. And they will help you along. But it's very important to be very careful not to spread evil so you would defile people.
And that's why he was being brought to the priest.
Right.
So what characterizes the priest other than any other maybe experienced man? Some of these priests were young in age, sons of Aaron. And maybe there is someone older in life that he could have more experience in life. But what does characterize a priest, that this which typifies sin has to be brought into the priest? I think the closeness unto God. The priest is close unto God, and he is that in that communion with God that he has his spiritual discernments. I think two things that characterize a priest, that he knows the book of the law, and he's close to God. So as we know the truth, in the light of his communion, we will be able to have that spiritual discernment, that now we know that this is a warning, this is arising in the flesh, that this is a bright spot, and or this is a true leprosy now, and I have to confess it before the Lord that this is leprosy. So as you said, that the Lord help us to take our Bibles on our knees, because we might know some knowledge in the Word of God, but if we are not in that active communion with Him, we know nothing about His holiness. So as we are in fellowship with Him, He will give us this spiritual discernment that characterizes the priest in his day.
Brother Dave, you have some.
Yeah, I was just thinking in terms of the matter of confessing to one another, and why to a degree there is a great importance to that, so that we might not continue to practice that particular sin. Kept quiet within my little confines, I can continue to practice it, the insidious working of it. Now let's be very candid here, because as we're speaking about sin here, I think it's so imperative to talk about the kinds of sins that are presently affecting us, affecting our young people. Because I deal with this on a regular basis in my practice. Many young Christians, and even some older, are suffering from things like pornography. It's a tremendous, infectious condition that has its impact directly upon us and upon our young people. The internet is available to us. And we can get it on our, we don't have to have it on the screen, you know, the computer screen any longer. We can get it quietly and silently on our cell phones. It's a tremendous
problem among Christians today. And I don't know what the circumstances are here today, but I think we need to realize that this is an element of the leprous condition that has to be broken. And it has to be broken as quickly as possible. So I wanted just to put the practical reality of these leprous conditions being not just, you know, that I'm full of pride. Yes, that's important. But the insidious working of the flesh in the area of pornography is a serious matter.
It's a bright spot.
It is a bright spot.
It is so attractive. It's a bright spot. And that's the third thing that we have there. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful of all of these things that looks bright, that looks very attractive. It bites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's poisonous.
All right, brethren, I think we have been given very much spiritual food, and there are many things to think about. It is now time to get some physical food.